Lamb of God. Yeah. Everybody got rocks last week. I need you to know something. Guess who painted these rocks? Bethany. So you got rocks that Bethany painted, and I'm not letting a rock take my place. Amen. One more time. Give a war cry. Yes. Glory. Yes. All right, Sister Vicky, you can do it from back there up here.
Back here.
Okay, y'all can be seated.
I'm loud enough.
We're not going to dispute that, but. Now, you're a mama. Mama's got fire horns. It's a team effort. Ladies, stand up. All the ladies, stand up. Either one's fine. There you go. Thank you. Amen. You know, I call her Dot, the Department of Transportation, because she has brought more people to church than you ever would imagine. She used to load up the van and carry people. She was Dot, D-O-T, the Department of Transportation in the minivan. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about mothers today and warfare. We're going to put warfare in this. We're going to have communion next week. We didn't want to, you know, have it so much today. How was that praise and worship? Was not that awesome? Awesome. Remember, it's warfare. Whenever you get up and worship God, it's warfare. Amen. And matter of fact, I'm going to let you in on something. Last week when I was trying to work on this sermon, as before the Lord gave me the sermon, he said, okay, it's time to divide the baby. Those who know about Solomon know what I'm talking about. I never understood what he said until after I left out that day. And that was, it wasn't a person. It had nothing to do with any one person in here. It had to do with attitudes in our heart. We don't necessarily know which way to go sometimes, what to do. And so there comes a time when we got to divide the baby inside of us, and we got to let God be God and just go ahead and turn loose and give him all the praise, honor, and glory, because he is awesome. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. Y'all get ready. All right, I'm going to give you a mother's dictionary. Just in case you don't know, when you hear a mother talking, I'm going to help you know what she was saying, okay? If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You see, she got a rolling pin in her hand. I hid my mama's rolling pin. my mama said, I had twin brothers after me and a little sister. My mama said that if I'd have been the twins, there wouldn't have been any more children. Amen. All right. So here it goes. Ready? This is a mother's dictionary. So I know you might have heard these words before. Bottle feeding. Bottle feeding is an opportunity for daddy to get up at 2 a.m. too. All those that had kids know the difference in breastfeeding and bottle feeding. Breastfeeding, I kept sleeping. When they bottle fed Linda, not Linda, but Beverly said, it's your turn. I said, okay. The next word, defense. What you better have around the yard if you're going to let your children play outside. Drooling. How teething babies wash their chins. Here's a good one. A dumbwaiter. One who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. I knew y'all would get that, yeah. All right, we got some more coming. There's a reason some people think that they can do anything. They listen to their mothers. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, some of the greatest leaders in the world, all said they were there because of two people, God and their mothers. Amen. So here we go. Feedback. The inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the string carrots. All right. Full name. When you call your child when you're mad at him, I used to hear it all the time. When I heard David, I was okay. When I heard David Clayton, I knew it was getting mad. When she said, David Clayton Linton! Yes. All right. Grandparents. Y'all ready? How many grandparents we got in here? Grandparents, watch this. The people who think your children are, that think that your children are wonderful, even though you're not sure if they're raising their grandkids right. I'll get out in a minute. The people that you wonder if they even raised the kids right. Amen. I'll get it out. Praise God. Yeah. Hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. DC and Daniel had a very, very strong gift. They would learn words at school and other places, and they would wait till we got to church to use them. I didn't even know it was coming. And they go, Pastor, you've been talking around that around your kids? And I go, no. I didn't even know they knew that word. Amen. All right, get ready. There's a few more. Mothers, I'm spelling it here, marvelous, overflowing with love, touching the heart of everyone she reaches. Mother, ready? I love this one. Look out. What it's too late for when your child, for your child to do something by the time you scream it. What's that? They've already done it. Prenatal. It was awesome at the graduation, or at the pending, when the nurses were telling where they were all going. Of course, Sierra's going to the ER, and some of them were going to the prenatal unit at Pitt. And I wanted them to know if they knew this word. Watch your life when your life was still somewhat your own. Before you had kids, you had a little bit of a life. Amen. Yeah. Prepared childbirth. A contradiction in terms. I remember the first time we had DC, I had to take Lamaze because I hadn't been trained in childbirth. When Daniel came, I was trained in all that, but at the time I hadn't been, so we had to take Lamaze, and we did all that practice and all that practice, and when she started having old big-headed DC, I walked in and said, breathe, honey, breathe. Breathe, honey, breathe, like they taught you. And she said, what do you think I'm doing, you idiot? She said, I want you to go out and stay out and bring my mama in here. I said, yes, dear. So that was a waste of time. Lamaze, I mean, not D.C. Not a waste of time at all. Puddle. A small body of water that draws on other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Almost through. You've got to have been through this to actually appreciate this. Here's Mama. Ready? One more, and then I'm gonna talk about spiritual warfare. I love it. This is so awesome and so true. Sterilize. What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. Oh, yeah. Tantrums. Ready? What you should keep to a minimum so as to not upset the children. Two more, we're going to go into warfare. All right. 2-minute warning. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. Get ready. And who done it? Who done it? None of the kids that live in your house. All right, that was just that vocabulary. All right, ready? Now get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out and Mark 15, verse 21. Just hold on to it for a minute. Hold on to it. Every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, preachers all over the world get up, and when they get through talking, the mothers and the fathers think, well, Lord, have mercy. I'm surprised that the social service hadn't come and taken my child away, because there's no way I can be all that great. You ever hear that? You get feeling that way when you start hearing Mother's Day sermons. You're going, I'm trying. Well, I got something for you today that you don't have to eat. Look, you can just go do it with me. Because we're getting down and dirty today. I'm going to show you where the rubber meets the road. Ready? Good morning, mothers. Mothers by birth. Mothers by adoption. Get ready. Have you ever felt insufficient? I know I have as a father. I know I felt insufficient. Even after I had a lot of years under my belt, as they started going in different stages and I was having to learn the next stage, yes, I always going to feel insufficient. Well, not only have you ever felt insufficient, do you ever feel that what you do doesn't count? I'm just mom. I'm here at home. I'm cooking. I'm washing. They don't even pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're getting ready to talk. Ready? As a mother, listen carefully. As a mother, everything you do for your kid counts. Everything. Every nosebleed that you helped, every snotty nose that you wiped, every pacifier that you took up and washed off at the beginning, the next time you blew on it, whatever. All of that, really, and the homework, Lord have mercy, the homework that you had to do, and all the boo-boos that you had to kiss. And sometimes the boo-boos had to be taken out the trash can, that the other kind of boo-boo. All right. Through Christ, you're more than sufficient. Through Him, you've got the power. You're able to do what you got to do. Matter of fact, you got to know something. You never, ever stop being a mother to your child. You never stop being a father to your child. There's different degrees. There was a time when I was responsible for D.C. and Daniel and Bethany. Then there was a time I was responsible to them. A big difference. That's where the parents have a hard time learning how to differentiate where you're responsible for them and you're responsible to them. And sometimes it's hard to let go of one and pick up the other. where once you did everything for them, and now you're just there as an advisor, and you show them and teach them. From the cradle to the grave, your influence will always be in your family's heart. My mama's been dead since 1997. And I can start doing something, especially something my mama told me not to do now. And you know what I hear? Of course, she didn't call me David Clayton Linton all the time. She would just go, my nickname's Cricket. So she'd go, Cricket! I mean, she'd scream it. The whole neighborhood would duck. And there's times when I do something now and I hear, Cricket! Because mama didn't just teach me. She helped burn it in me. Some of you in here today don't realize mothers are on the front lines of spiritual warfare. So not only are you going to be their influence, look, the perfect mother, there's no way to be the perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. How many got to lead the mighty army this morning? The attributes that Mary had that God used when he got decided to let her be his son, to be the mother of his son, the attributes that she had, the motherhood attributes, are the same attributes every last mother's got. When you hear, in my times of trouble, from Paul McCartney, in my times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me singing words of wisdom, let it be, let it be. That wasn't Mary, the mother of Christ. It was his mama. That's what put him and John Lennon together so fast, is because both of them lost their mothers at early ages. But even though she was dead, as he's writing music, he can even write and say, you know what? She's gone. But her influence still touches me, and it still guides me. Even when I was not necessarily lined up with Mama like Mama wanted, even at times me and Mama were having hard times together, what she taught me stuck, it stayed. And even though me and her may not have been on the best of terms, her influence always was there. So now, it's not just influence, it goes much, much deeper. Get ready, I'm trying to be hurry up through this as much as possible. So whether you know or not, every mother in this place, you play a vital role in spiritual warfare. You may say, well, wait a minute, I'm just a mother. I'm not a preacher, I'm not in the pulpit, I'm not in the band, I'm not playing praise and worship, I stay at home, or I just do my job and I come home and I fix the stuff for my family, things of that nature. You got all this going on, but you go, I don't know how you can say that I'm in spiritual warfare. I'm here to tell you something. Mothers, you are the front line spiritual warfare. The pulpit may be the bassinet. The pulpit may be simply you holding their hand and picking them up off the ground and kissing that boo-boo. But you play a vital role in spiritual warfare. We've been talking about spiritual warfare for the last few weeks. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare for quite a while because we're going to get down to every last little bit. Last week was praise is our warfare. So, just to show you, you say, well, I'm not good enough. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I just don't know enough. How can I lead in spiritual warfare if I'm not even able to lead me? Mothers in spiritual warfare is as simple as I fly, as if I threw what the world, the here and now is what the world considers the least likely leader in spiritual warfare, the Canaanite woman. Her actions in crisis points to mother's first steps in spiritual warfare. It points to how God, in the very beginning, Well, you're not, that's what you got, your pulpit is the playpen. Your pulpit is the high chair. J. Edgar Hoover said that discipline started in the high chair, not the electric chair. You never really realize just how much influence you have on spiritual warfare. So today, briefly, look at somebody that's not been here in a while and say, that means nothing. Briefly means nothing. Spiritual warfare. Turn to Matthew 15 and stand for the reading of the word. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, crying unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. We got a generation, a world that is vexed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. In other words, we don't want to hear what she's got to say. Get rid of her, Lord. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Meaning he's talking about Gentiles. And she said, truth, Lord, but yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for these wonderful, beautiful mothers here today, Lord. Maybe they not be a birth mother, but they're adopted mothers because somebody's looking up to them. Somebody is treasuring and grasping for their influence. Help them to realize that, and that there's something very powerful that a woman has that a man does not have. Meaning, Lord, you know man in the Trinity, man represents the Father, the one who protects, the one who provides, but the mother represents the Holy Spirit, the one who guides and protects and walks along beside and nurtures and comforts. Help them know that their role, even though they may not be perfect, is very powerful. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. So now we're going to go through this, try to go through it pretty fast. But I don't want to not give it justice, okay? You don't need to be a great somebody. Just get to a great God. So I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I read the whole Bible all the way through. When I did read it, I just skimmed through the hard parts. I try to sing, I try to do what I can, but I'm always coming up short. This shows you, mothers, that you don't need to be a great somebody. You just need to be able to get to a great God. So here she goes. She was a poor woman. Her husband is never mentioned. So obviously, either he was disconnected, or not interested, or just so little in the story, he's not even mentioned. She's a poor woman. She's an outcast. She is by birth a Canaanite, a Gentile. She shouldn't even be coming to Jesus. She should keep her place. She should know you don't stop him He's coming to the Jews. You're a Canaanite. You're not the right shape, the right size, the right height, got the right background, got the right whatever, pedigree. All those things that we try to come up with excuses why we can't lead in spiritual warfare. Her situation, her daughter is vexed with the devil. It never even mentions her name, not one time. But she is elevated by God. In the end, I'll show you just how elevated she is by God. Only two in the New Testament, to Jesus, say they had great faith. Two. Y'all say two. Only two had great faith. Say great faith. That was a centurion and this woman. Both of them were Gentiles. Wow. What did she do to catch Jesus' attention? Some of you in here right now, I'm not trying to prophesy, I'm not trying to say I know, I don't know, whatever, but some of you right now, you may have a situation in your home, whether it be with your kids, or whether it be with your spouse, or whether it be with your family, that you feel like, wow, this is getting out of hand. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can ever be capable. Ephesians 6 and 10, the Amplified Version says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Moms, latch on to Him. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. So the very first thing you do in spiritual warfare is talk to God. Talk to Him. Draw from Him. Draw strength from Him. Before you give up, before you throw in the towel, draw strength from God. All right, next. She overcame a whole bunch of excuses. How many here has ever, when God starts talking to you, you start giving Him excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse? First thing she did in Mark 7, 26, she stepped beyond her own crisis. Number one, like I said, her identity, nobody. She was a nobody to the crowd. She was unnamed. She was inferior because in that woman, that's even worse. Now you got a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, going to a Jew, and a woman on top of all that. And the prejudice. Gentiles and Canaanites hated each other. Wow. I realize when you look at your mother, you're looking at the purest love you will ever know. She's empowered by great love. Her love was more powerful than her fear. Her love was more powerful than her shame. Her love was more powerful than her hardship and her sacrifice. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, love covers a multitude of sin. Jesus takes away sin. Peter's not talking about Jesus. Peter's talking about us. Love covers a multitude of sin, which means that we look beyond what somebody's done and love them anyway. It's easier when you're really close to them, but sometimes you just, it's hard to have that agape love in you and look beyond what they did to love them. 1 John 4 and 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in God. So what's the guy do with spiritual warfare here with this love? 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all be done with love. Wow. I've heard mothers over the years tell me, because they were a single mother, that they worked, maybe even worked and went to school. They took care of their family, maybe worked two jobs, to make ends meet, all at the same time being a mom. Wow. They were watching, standing fast in the faith, being strong. But most of all, that was that love that was pulling them and sustaining them. I'm getting closer. Ready? A mother's prayer. Let me get in here and read this. A mother's prayer. Oh, give me patience when wee hands tug at me with their small demands. And give me gentle and smiling eyes. Keep my lips from hasty replies. And let not weariness, confusion, or noise obscure my vision from life's fleeting. And I can't, that's one of those colorblind things. It's done got, there you go. So when in years you come to my house, no bitter memories in its rooms that you'll find. Armed with great determination. Listen carefully. This is such a powerful part of this story. Here's a woman that's a nobody. Here's a woman that's not only a nobody, she's considered inferior. She's hated by the Jews. She's even hated by her own people. She goes to Jesus. And he begins to test her. Let me tell some of y'all in here right now, have you ever prayed for God to help you and it got worse? Have you ever prayed for God to touch your child and it got worse than it ever been? Have you asked the Lord to touch your husband? Husbands, have you asked God to touch your wife and it got bad? There comes a time of testing when you start talking to God. And many times, he may not answer right away because he's going to test you first. So first, she conquered the test of patience in divine silence. She said, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil," but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's going to Jesus, he's her only hope, and he ignores her. Have you ever felt ignored by God? She conquered the test of patience in divine silence. She conquered the test of doubt and discouragement. Because Jesus said nothing, and his right-hand man, men, his disciples said, "Get rid of her. Tell her to go away. We don't want her here. She has no business talking to you, Jesus." But she refused to let go. She conquered the test of rejection. Because when Jesus did talk, he said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm not even here for you is what he's saying. I'm here for my people. I'm not here for you. So here's this woman, has no hope. But she's conducting spiritual warfare and don't even know it. She's gone to Jesus, her only hope. He doesn't respond. His ministers say, "Go away." And Jesus says, I'm not even here for you. I'm here for my people. Wow. And she conquered the test of humility. Verse 25, he said, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'Is it not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs?' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, but when the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table,'" then Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole that very hour. She passed the test of humility. Moms, that's a hard test right there. You're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to make sure your kids got what they need and you can't seem to get it together. You try your best to get your kids to have a good attitude, and all of a sudden they don't have such a good attitude. You're trying to make things work, and you got that divine silence. God is zip. Those that you expect to help, they're saying, get out of here. Then Jesus going, hey. Like that lady Ida said at Fountain when I'd ask her to clean something up over here because she was the cleaning lady. And I say, this hadn't been cleaned over here lately. And she go, she was from Columbia, and she go, not my job, man. Not my job. That's what he was saying to her. It's not my job. I'm here for my people, not you. And then she just humbled on down anymore, even more. And God was watching. James 1, 3 through 4, the Amplified Version. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Now, the trial of your faith, that word faith is talking about everything you stand on, everything you believe in. When you feel like the rug has been pulled out from under your feet, moms, when you're doing the best you can and it keeps getting worse, you've been turned down, rejected, you don't even hear God, you can't even see his face. And Satan's saying, see, he don't love you, see, he don't care about you, see, he wants you to fail. So everything has been yanked out from underneath you that you stand on. When this happens, it brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have a full play and do thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. A mother's prayer. Dear Lord, grant me the gift of listening with my heart, not just my ears. Give me a servant's heart, Lord, and a tongue far quicker for praise and prayer than to judge and criticize. I saw a woman at the altar one day, and she said, Lord, I need you to give me a heart for my husband. I need you to give me wisdom because he's driving me crazy. But one thing I don't need, Lord, is for you to give me strength because I would kill him. See the power of great prayer. Spiritual warfare. This is all spiritual warfare. Everything here has been spiritual warfare. She acknowledged his divinity. She worshiped. She acknowledged his control. She called him Lord. And she could not manage her life without his help. So she acknowledged all of this. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and in entreaty, to the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, including your kids. They're God's people. I come home one day, and D.C. was sitting out on the porch. And I said, what's wrong, son? He was just, I said, what is it, son? Tell me. He goes, ugh. I said, tell me, son. He said, Daddy, I'm having a problem with your wife. I said, son, she's your mother. He says, yeah, but she was your wife first. Mothers, learn to take baby steps too, and God will help you each step of the way. Sometimes, when it seems like everything's falling apart, mothers, spiritual warfare, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. When we coach football, we would tell them, all you need to get is about 3 yards of play, 3 yards of play, 3 yards of play. If you can get 3 yards of play, we got this. Just 3 yards of play. All you got to do is, look, all you got to do is get 3 yards of play. We'll get to the goal line. You don't need any Hail Marys. You don't need any fans. Just 3 yards. 3 yards, and we can win this game. Mothers, she was kept by great persistence. You see, this woman's faith was tested. I mean tested. I'm getting ready to close. Her faith was tested in 3 ways. I'm going to go through them quickly. Oh, here we go. Back there. I was leaving it. They're dropping too slow. The letters are dropping too slow. I'm going to drop them all at one time. She kept after Jesus in spite of his silence. She kept talking to Jesus in spite of his disciples' lack of wanting to be silent. And she kept after Jesus even knowing that she was undeserving. She kept on coming. Moms, keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. This is spiritual warfare. Keep on coming. You may not get 2 or 3 yards, but it's okay. Keep on coming. God is watching and he's testing. I learned far more from the hard times than I did from the easy times. I learned how to be a better parent because I was trying to help my kids be better kids. Let's go back to James again. Another version of the Amplified Bible. Be assured that the testing your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Trust him, church. Trust him. Trust him, mothers. And then finally, I love this. Mothers reflect God's image. Let's talk about those crumbs for a minute. When Jesus is talking about the bread cast down and the woman talking about the crumbs, back in the day, they didn't have Bounty. They didn't have the Quicker Picker-Upper. They didn't even have the old cheap dollar store stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You eat fried chicken, grab the dollar store paper towel and grab it, and when you pull it off of your hand, it's stuck to your hand, your entire hand. We won't even talk about the toilet paper, okay? They didn't have this. So when they were cooking a meal, they would cook a special mound of bread. This bread was not to be eaten. This bread actually served as their bounty, their quicker picker-upper. These were less than leftovers. They were disposable like napkins. They were discarded. They were thrown on the floor. And the dogs would clean the floor. I remember after Beverly died, after about 6 months to a year, somebody asked me, said, "You need somebody to come in and clean your house?" I said, "No." I said, "Me and the boys and Bethany got this." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, we eat off the floor 2 or 3 times. I mean, we eat off, it's so clean. It's so clean you can eat off the floor." I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, the dogs do it every day." So here's this bread, disposable, discarded. The dogs would clean. Dogs were always around when you were eating. They took care of all the stuff. They were your it was your living garbage disposal. It wasn't even considered part of the meal. But it wasn't what she got. It's who she got it from. Wow. Little as much when Jesus gets a hold of it. That's him breaking the bread right there, feeding the 5,000. As a mother and as a father, my job is to take care of the possible and to trust God with the impossible. As long as we don't get that mixed up, we can see some things happening. Watch this. She stood till she triumphed. She would not let go. She received that great, great, great commendation. You have a great faith. She saw approval, her request was granted, and she saw a miracle. Her daughter was healed because she, in the face of being ignored by God, would not be ignored by God. Y'all hear that? In the face of her being ignored by God, she will not be ignored by God. One more time. You need to get this in you. When she felt like she was ignored by God, she would not be ignored by God. That's part of warfare. That's part of that power praise. That's part of God, I need you. I can't feel you, I can't see you, but I need you, and I know you hear me. Look at mom, ain't it cool? The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. Deuteronomy 28:7. That's an awesome mom right there. Moms, every time you go to bat, that's you right there. She stood till she triumphed. Don't give up. Yes, you are in spiritual warfare. Satan's trying to take our families. He's trying to get us. Because if he knows if he can get a generation, the next generation will be godless. And he's trying to get that generation to be godless now. So by the time they're full of doubt and full of discouragement, and by the time the next generation comes, they won't even hear about God. And they'll forget all about it because they won't see it with their own eyes. Yes, we're in spiritual warfare. And no, you don't have to be perfect to go to battle. Thank God for that. How many here is perfect? Raise your hand. You raise your hand, the very first thing you got is you got a problem with lying. None of us are perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. So one more. DC, come here and get ready to play something, bro. I'm gonna do some sayings about mother before I close out here. A Spanish proverb. I love this sayings about mother. A Spanish proverb: an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. That's awesome. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. A Jewish proverb may say it the best: a child without a mother is like a door without a knob. And finally, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mom, spiritual warfare is here. It's real. Ask my grandyoungins, what's going on in school, and tell me how things are being taught. Wow. My wife's brother's son was going to be a high school teacher just a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago. He quit, said, I'm not going to do it. I said, why? Tell me what you teach. He said, everything's been so rewritten. All the things you learn as a child, none of it has been left untampered with or destroyed. Spiritual warfare. Let's read that scripture again, though. All you got to do is show up and be dressed up. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Mom, that's what you look like. I know you don't feel like it. You feel like you hooked up to an IV riding in the back of a rescue squad, but I promise you, that's what you look like in God's eyes. Maybe in your kids' eyes, your husband's eyes, the world's eyes, you may look different. But to God, because you are conducting, you're on the front lines, you're in the foxhole of spiritual warfare. That's what God sees when you pick up God's word and say, we're going to battle, bruh. Going to battle. I'm going to leave you with one little thing, and then we're going to stand up and we're going to pray. Go get them, Mom. Go get them. Notice your work is not in vain. Notice that although your child might not be listening to you now, they'll listen to you. It'll come back to them. It'll be back playing their ears. I hear my mama all the time talking to me. I tell my boys, I tell my wife, I tell other people. My mama used to say, I'm just hearing my mama talk to me right now. She's been dead since 97, but I keep hearing her talk to me because of the lessons and the examples that she showed me. Very, very powerful. Go get them, Mom. God's got your back. You ain't got to be perfect, because there's none perfect, none but Jesus. When I'm doing counseling at either detention center, there's two things I hear all the time. All the time. Number one, I just didn't listen to what my mama was trying to tell me. Or I just pushed aside, or I had to close my ears to what my mama was telling me. And look where I'm at. And in the heroin unit, 7 years in that heroin unit, only one time amongst all those hundreds of guys, one time did I hear, this is on the dads now, only one time did I hear my daddy really try to teach me, but I wouldn't listen. All I ever hear about is mama teaching me. But I hear about dads not being there, not showing up, using them as drug mules, causing havoc in the house, and they're in this drug unit. But every last one of them will say, I just want to talk to Mama again. I got to get to her. I need to tell her she was right, that she did a good job, that I'm not here because of what she did. I'm here because I didn't pay attention to what she was trying to teach me. Moms, you got a hard job. It's spiritual warfare. You got it. But the whole part of this is not only have you got it, God's got you. On the front line, God's got you, and you're going to be all right. Everybody please stand. If your mom was here, I want you to hold her hand. If your mama's not here because either she's gone on to be with God or she's somewhere else right now, find somebody else. Just hold their hand. Another mother figure. Just hold their hand. And I want you to tell them, we thank you. Tell them, we thank you for all the good seeds that you've dropped over the years. One more time, we want to thank you for all the good seeds that you've dropped over the years. And help us, Lord, to cultivate them. No more, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. And I believe God lets my mom hear this today when I look up and I say, thank you, Mom. God's got you. 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 We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to dismiss in prayer. If your mother's living, somehow today, get in touch with her. Tell you love her and thank her for all the seeds that she dropped, that she planted. And I want you to overlook the part that she weren't perfect. Because I promise you, you weren't perfect either. Today's not a day to figure out what she done wrong. Thank her for all she did right. And watch God bless you as He blesses them. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Not to say the Lord's Prayer. Brother Wayne, I want you to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.